AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back to throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatorre.
And your boy Jay Scott 2-5. What's good, y'all boys?
What up, 2-5?
A beautiful day in the neighborhood, man. Same corner, same time, off of a therapeutic bye week. Everybody hit like, share, all of that, man. Make sure y'all retweet us. Love, love, love. How was y'all boys' weekend?
It was good. A little hockey game, some friends, some friendship, some fun. The vibes, if you really want to know. Corey and I talked about it yesterday. We did a little pop-up show about the coaching search. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here, but go check that out. But otherwise, good weekend.
Yeah, I'm going through big dad vibes right now. So I had all the weekend off. We're getting into like walking now. And I saw a video, not to get sappy, but saw a video that was like the hardest part about being a parent is like you never – none of the moments or none of the stages are like, they're just fleeting. They're gone. And like, we were looking at baby pictures and like that baby's gone, but now she's starting to walk.
Well, she's talking. Still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For now. She hasn't paid a single bill yet. So
not a teenage runaway, got a toddler runaway.
Yeah. 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 But good. Good times. Went to, did a little picnic, Cade Museum, Big Dad vibes all weekend.
Nice, man.
Yeah, man. It was pretty chill for me, saying dad vibes. Had my wife's grandparents come over. We cooked some food on Sunday. Just a little chill vibes with the family. Nothing too crazy.
Your wife's grandparents or your wife's parents?
My wife's parents, sorry. My kid's grandparents.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, my goodness.
How's my sound? Am I okay? Am I okay sound-wise?
A little canny.
A little canny.
Yeah, definitely a little canny. That's a good way to put it.
I don't know why it's like that. Probably need my headphones then. Let me see.
Well, we got a big show. We're playing Georgia this weekend in football. I know the internet has probably forgotten that. This week they've been
that's crazy.
They've been reading and arguing and commentating on any sort of action that's not Lane Kiffin, and so we play football for the last time in a few years in Jacksonville.
Mic check.
Ah,
voice the gun, buddy. I feel like
good to go.
I feel like we're back in the 1980s, just got in the car, and it's like a late night. Hey,
yeah. Hello.
Mic check,
everybody.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
As a kid, I always wanted to do the Midnight Love show on radio, bro. That was like my dream. Be like,
hey, this is Uncle
a part-time comedian, part-time, you know, Midnight Love. Radio show host.
Love Hour, ladies and gentlemen.
Love Hours with Uncle Silk, you know.
On 99 Jams.
On 99 Jams.
Go on ahead, light a candle, find that significant other.
Yeah. Jordan, how was your weekend, man?
Oh, man, we talked about it.
My bad. I was adjusting my audio. My bad, man. Welcome to the
show. Feel free to listen back.
So I saw someone mention this. Do you think Florida fans are at Tennessee point? Like, who was it? Shiano? Like, do you think that there's a name that gets announced that there's just
Greg Shiano would have been a great pick for Tennessee. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Shiano was a crazy. At the time, I think it would have been good, but I think they got the right guy for the job right now with Heupel. He'll be consistent for them.
Well, yeah, this was like 5 years before that.
Yeah. Schiano's offense is just stale. I think they would have got him out of there in like 3-4 years. He would have been done. It wouldn't have been a bad hire on paper, but I think he's just a little antique with what he's doing. What were we talking about again? I'm sorry.
Are we at Shiano?
Oh, yeah, I got the fan base on January 6th watch. For sure.
Oh my God.
A revolt can happen at any moment, bro. The wrong hire, it can be Viking horns at the Capitol type vibes.
Are you the one in the Viking horns?
Hey, that's neither here nor there.
I've seen his face photoshopped on the Viking horn guy.
I didn't do that Photoshop, man. It's all propaganda, man. AI is crazy.
This is a parody show.
The fan base is on edge, and every time Drink's name climbs the betting odds that Dan puts out, like, they get a little bit more edge every time.
All right, let's pause there. Let's shout out Brunt Insurance, and then we're gonna pick that up.
Oh yeah, forgot we gotta pay bills. Shout out to the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the Panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg is the best of the best. Home, auto, life insurance, motorcycle, boats, trailers, RVs, anything with wheels, I'm sure my man Greg could take care of you. And it's absolutely free to see if you can save money. Because I guarantee you, as a customer of Greg's, he can save you some money. Visit bruntinsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies.
Greg, what it do, baby?
So I think this chat, if you're looking, and please comment, give us some topic ideas, what you guys want to hear about. There's a lot of people that don't like a lot of coaches. So that's what I'm noticing in this search, is that there's one name that everybody mostly likes. Yeah.
We know the name that everyone likes. Spam the name that would cause you to riot. If that was the name. If Pete Thamel drops the tweet, hey, it's this guy, you are currently rioting. You're on the way to Stadium and Gale.
Yeah. So the betting odds market is out today, and they'll take the odds down. This is from Bet Online. They're an overseas odds book. They post for a day, then they'll pull off because there's a lot that can happen. Right now, your betting odds. And so let me preface this, because somebody asked me a question. Same. So what?
That was I asked them to put names that they would riot if they were named the next head coach. I said that. Same.
Okay. Well, let me get through this, Nick. We got a comment last week that you cut a lot of people off. So I don't want to bring that up. So before I read these odds, I commented to somebody because they asked me about folks seem to forget that Vegas sometimes is encouraging betting, and that's partially true. So I'm going to read this. So in a coaching search, the opening lines, the one that came out last Sunday, are probably best guesses at the beginning. Any moves after that is going to reflect where money, especially sharp money, is going and how the book wants to shape their exposure. So these odds are a blend of likelihood and liability management for themselves. So before I read these odds and the chat freaks out, and I'm not even looking at the chat, but I will in a second. Updated odds right now are Drinkwitz minus 105, James Franklin plus 200, Lane Kiffin plus 300, and then Jed Fish is plus 400, Brahm is plus 1,000, Golish is plus 1,200, and Brent Key is plus 1,600. So that's where we're at right now. That doesn't mean that Drinkwitz is the favorite to become the head coach at Florida or that anything's pushing it that way. I've not heard that. But before anybody gets crazy like they did in my mentions today, those are the odds right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Nasty odds, I'm going to be honest with you. It's just, you know, I got a few texts. So we about to get drinks. I was like, bro, it's just odds, man. Don't get too excited with that stuff. It's just betting. I think everybody's on the same page for the most part that I don't know about him. I mean, he was almost about to be fired, and then he made a change at offensive coordinator, saved his job. You know, things started to work out a little bit offensively, but still, I'm not in love with the offense. I think he's a good coach. I'm not in love with the offense, and I don't think he can fit, you know, culturally. He's a little weird. He says crazy, wild things and pressers and whatnot, so I just don't think he would be a fit. I think most of the fan base kind of feel that way about him.
What are things that you do like about him?
I think he's a good in-game coaching. I think he's schedule is favorable, but he still wins big games, you know, from time to time, considering they're at Missouri. I think they recruit decently for being at Missouri. You know, we lost some guys to them in the transfer portal that panned out, that worked out pretty good for them. So I think he's a good, like, in-game coach. You know, I think he puts out a good product every year. For the most part, except for the year he was about to get fired in. So I think he's solid. And he knows the league, right? You know, he's familiar.
He's recruited pretty well, right? Yeah. He probably wasn't working out calling plays. Yeah, for Missouri. Probably wasn't working out calling plays. He goes and hires an offensive coordinator. It's an improvement.
I don't know. I feel like he's McElwain.
I just don't know if he's as weird as, like, I think people think he's like the weirdest person in the world. I think that he's maybe a little goofy, maybe a little different, but I don't think that he's like this unrelatable person. I think he's been able to attract a pretty decent coaching staff around him.
Well,
I'm not.
What would be your pecking order, right? You got a weird, goofy coaches. You got McElwain, Mullen, Drinks, like, rank them.
Mac was
that order.
Mac was different. Mull and Mac were very different from each other. I feel like Drinkwitz is like a dorky Spurrier. If he's winning, 10 games, you're going to embrace. Yeah. Spurrier in the sense that, like, he will just take shots at other teams. Well, like Dan Mullen,
so cool. He's a cool,
he's like a sitcom dad. Syndicated TV sitcom dad version of Spurrier.
I don't know. Maybe I work in the IT space, and so I've been around a lot of people that are just not as cool or as hip all the time. No offense to people in the industry. But I just don't find him as off-putting, and I feel like it gets exaggerated because you come up for and I'm not saying that I want him necessarily. I think it becomes an easy excuse to say that he's too weird and too different. He's obviously had some success at Missouri, getting good players, building up a pretty good team and being successful. You can say it's the schedule, but it's the schedule that they have. Florida's schedule next year is significantly easier than it has been in the past. Florida's gotten the raw end of the deal probably the last couple of years. They've made some scheduling things that they no longer have to oblige by. I just don't. I think that it gets a little bit blown out of proportion. He's not the coolest guy, right? He's no Marcus Freeman, not a Lane Kiffin. He's not a Dan Lanning.
What great coach didn't have a great personality?
Kirby Smart, Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, Kirby Smart is pretty cool. On the kids think Kirby Smart is pretty cool, bro.
Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, Dabo Sweeney is
Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher was pretty cool. Jimbo was cool. Jimbo was cool as hell.
Howard Schnellenberg.
Personality just, you know, Schnellenberg had to go in the hood to grab some Bear kids Bryant. That wasn't true. Even, you know, people didn't even find in day. like personality just matters in this, right? You got to be relatable to the kids and the top end recruits, and be able to mesh well with the media. Like if you're awkward to this media group of people, like it could get weird with Mark Long, Edgar, and those guys. Like they would chew him up, in my opinion. I don't think it would be a good marriage, just from a fit standpoint. I think he's a good coach. You know, like I said, I'm not like hung up on it, but I just think out of the group of guys, I take Brent Key over him. Like most of these guys, I would take over him because I think the personality wouldn't do well on the trail or with our media or fans.
I think I pulled up his record. His record's not superb.
He took over pretty bad. He took over from Barry Odom, who was fired. Yeah. Had not a great first couple of years. Now, I don't want people to think I'm on the Eli Drinkwitz train. I think some of the reaction to him is just vastly overblown. Sorry, Nick, go ahead.
You didn't want to go public with what you've been texting us privately?
Please.
Sorry, didn't mean to air that out.
No, that's hilarious.
44-26, 24-22 overall. Like Dan said, Barry Odom was an abject disaster. As a game day coach, he was bad. You know, I think we said that Billy was like good Friday or Sunday to Friday. Barry Odom was bad Saturday to Saturday. that's not great. That's not a great record. I do think he's a good coach. I think Florida fans would embrace. I almost look at him like Eli Drinkwitz, like a Kevin Garnett. Like he's super annoying unless he's on your team. If he's on your team, like that's a guy that you rally around because his jokes might be a little corny at times, but like he's out there throwing punches.
Oh, in the beginning, we're going to rally around whoever gets the job, Nick. We're going to lie until we can't lie. So, yeah. I mean, McElwain not wearing socks. Like,
not wearing socks, the dip in his mouth, making sandwiches. I mean, it was all like, hey, that's kind of cool.
He said he could teach his dog to be a quarterback. Like he says some outlandish things, man. Yeah, shout out to Claire Bell.
Rest in peace, Claire Bell.
She died
years ago.
I mean, I'm sure by now.
An older dog when he was here.
Sure by now, man. I mean, yeah.
Claire Bell wasn't a puppy. Jordan, did Jordan get any PB&J?
I don't like peanut butter, so hell no.
You don't like peanut butter?
He wasn't even invited. Yeah.
I'm not a peanut butter guy.
That was only for AD.
Dan's on the drink train. Dan's a conductor of the Drink Express. I mean, I'm not, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to say, hey, maybe we're over exaggerating how weird this guy is. We did get a lot of super chats here, and I'm going to try to get
50, and I will screenshot Dan's private messages supporting Eli Drinkwitz. I will screenshot them and tweet them.
Super chat $1,000, and I'll tell you what Nick told us before the show. Drink as a dork, and as a dork myself, this is not Dan reading. I'm sorry, this is from JJ 411. I'm as a dork as myself. I kind of like him. Plus, he's recruited the number one player at a position multiple times in Missouri. I mean, I think that you depends on the staff that you bring over, the way that. The team has kind of rallied behind him. Again, not my number one choice, but I understand why. Penn State's looking at him.
I think he's waiting on that Auburn job to open.
Yeah, Auburn, I think we'll go after him. I'm really curious. This is going to be an unbelievable coaching carousel year. Shout out to Jimmy Sexton. If you're selling Gulfstream airplanes, keep Jimmy Sexton's number saved because he's probably going to be in the market for a few more. We appreciate that super chat.
He might need a commercial.
Yeah, like a Boeing.
Yeah, like that.
An Airbus.
Yeah, you need a big boy.
Just had my first private jet experience.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, Nick. Dan is predictive programming is on Eli. No, it's not. There's nothing. There's nothing that
program. Who y'all think we is, man? Y'all think we ESPN? You think we got it like that?
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. You guys hate Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah. Man.
So that's get your ride gear ready. Let's get your ride gear ready. All right. Let's see. Truth Seeker, we appreciate it. 20 bones here. Everyone is going crazy for Lane. I like Lane, but did anyone pay attention to his in-game decision-making? Some of that was crazy to watch.
Yeah, all of these coaches are going to make mistakes all fall, man. I'm going to be honest with you. One of them is at home. Like, Franklin's at the crib. So he made a lot of mistakes, and they got him up out of there, bro. But everybody, Drink's game was ugly. You know, they lost. I think he had 3 points going into the fourth quarter or something crazy. Yep. Who else we got on this list? Brent Key put hands and feet on Fran Brown. So he's rising up my board, bro. Like, I like
hands Brent and Key. Feet.
Hands and feet. Yes. It was a full blown crash.
It was a full on beating.
For funny. Sure. I looked up. I was out at the parks, man. I looked at my phone. I was like, the what?
Do you think people would react more favorably to Brent Key or Eli Drinkwitz?
Chat. I think Brent Key would get more love, man. That's the pretty much the groomer and developer of Haynes Luther King, man. We got a lot of love for Brent Key and Haynes Luther King. We don't have him high on our coaching board, but if you're not getting Lane, you're not getting Franklin, you're down on the board. Like, they got drinks. Some people got drinks right now at 2. In their mind, not the fan base, but if we was to hire him, if we miss on Lane Kiffin, bro, it will be full blown riots. Give me Brent Key over here.
Yeah, but like,
hold on, Nick. This is why I love our chat, right? Because this is how I know it's gonna go crazy. First, Drinkwitz is way better than Key. Give me Key all day, and then Drink City. Probably some more. So, you know, never going to appease everybody. Nick, go ahead.
Forgot where I was going. I was trying to then find Drink isn't ready for. Yeah, there's a lot of this. Haynes King. Quarterback?
Yeah. I think he's quarterback.
Or runs the ball really well.
He makes some throws. Like, he ain't just out there just running the wing tee. Like, he makes throws, bro. You seen that throw he hit on the fourth quarter with the time winding down on Miami? Just a dime. Ding. Scoops on in for a touchdown. Now, I think that offense is also fairly young and evolving. I mean, one of the reasons I'm not high on Brent Key is because there's a lot to be, you know, seen. His resume is very short. It's been impressive. Like, he's beaten our ops. He should have beat Georgia last year, you know, in that little rivalry, but you know, the refs robbed him. They had other things in playing with the playoffs. But I think he's a good coach. I just think, you know, the whole operation is young. What does it look like without Haynes Luther King? What does it look like without that offensive coordinator, et cetera? That's why I just got him down on the list, because there's not a lot of experience. Like, even hiring-wise, I don't know if it goes south, would he fire, you know, some of those friends that's on the staff? Like, I don't know a lot about him.
Yeah, Haynes Luther King has 20 more completions this season than rushing attempts. Very good system quarterback. Very tough. Kid's tough as nails. I enjoy watching him play.
He's going to get shot at the NFL, man.
Okay.
We were talking about this yesterday.
Hopefully not with my Dolphins.
How about us? Best team in the NFL yesterday, huh? Yeah.
Birds have never looked dirtier.
Jordan and I are already talking about getting a hotel.
Jordan's a Jack now, man.
Santa Clara.
No, he's not.
Jack definitely won't be in the Super Bowl. That's for sure.
I'm just telling you, he's a Jag now, bro. Like, I don't make the rules, bro. I just follow him on Instagram. There's a lot of Jag stuff go up. I haven't seen no Dolphin go up yet, bro. We brought him on the staff this summer, bro. It's a wrap.
I did put some sweat and tears into that one,
so you know,
right now.
You see,
momentarily.
Let's see,
Duval.
Yeah, that's bad.
You said that's bad.
I mean, so Drinkwitz from the chat is ready to ride.
Popular, pretty popular.
Brent Key, slightly more popular. Definitely not popular. But a little bit more.
I think he got the edge.
He got the edge. All right, James Franklin.
It's a controversial one, but I think everybody's coming around to James, the idea of James Franklin. He's going to get a big job.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
So I was talking to my buddies, both went to Michigan, and they were laughing about James Franklin to Florida because they were like, never once did I worry about Penn State while he was there. For the 10th decade he was there, I was like, I go to look it up. He was 3-7 against Michigan, with one of those being the COVID year when I think the Big Ten played a 3¾ game schedule. I think the ceiling's super, or the floor is super high with James Franklin. Can you win a championship? I don't know. Penn State also, I guess we talk about Penn State like a blue blood, like this powerhouse. They've won the Big Ten 4 times.
Like
half of those times they shared it with Ohio State.
Yeah.
It is I guess.
Just saying though, but Penn State is like probably like the third, possibly the third best school in the Big Ten to go to recruiting wise. Like, so he's having that record with like bottom barrel talent for real. So imagine being on the platform like Florida.
And if it's maybe, I mean, like, bro, he competed at Vandy. He gave Florida a run for their damn money when he was at Vandy.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like if he gets on the stage like Florida, I don't see that being a bad hire. I feel like we don't need to go for, like we mentioned earlier, like a good offensive coordinator or somebody that can like new and up and coming. I feel like we don't have time for that. I think we need somebody who knows how to run a program and that the guys are going to respect, going to want to stay for, play for. And I feel like just let the rest happen. I feel like, bro, we're so blessed in that we're in Florida and we got all this resources. Facilities are great. Everything's great. I think we just need somebody to kind of steer the ship the right way. And it's not just on one side of the ball. I feel like that was our problem, obviously, for the past couple of years. Offensive-minded guy, defensive-minded guy. Somebody's playing good. Somebody's playing terrible. Like, I need somebody who's manning the ship and can hire great. The rest going to fall into place. You always going to get cats coming to Florida. The brand going to get you there regardless. Like, so that's just my take on it. So I do,
man,
like
James. You sound like me, bro. You took all my talking points, bro. I appreciate that, dog. No, good.
But like, he's gonna recruit. I think he built a good program. I think it's easier to win at Florida than it is at Penn State. I don't know.
Sure.
Someone in the chat said like he didn't win big at Penn State. He won at Florida. I think it's easier at Florida.
Yeah, it makes it sound like it's tougher. I mean, it's a tougher big conference, but you know everything. Yeah, relative. Like
which plays into this though. 4-21 against AP top 10 teams,
mm-hmm.
1-13 against top 10 Ohio State and Michigan teams combined. I can just see Florida fans getting pissed off winning 10 games and not making it to Atlanta 3 years in a row.
I don't think nobody cares about Atlanta the same now, right? It's about making the playoffs, mm-hmm. being a top 15 team. I think like he's gonna have you around that every single year, you know, for the most part. Like,
yeah,
no coach is perfect. He's gonna probably like you're gonna have everybody's gonna have some down years here or there. This mm-hmm. year, he went and made some big hires at coordinator spots, but every year, like he's going to get a big dog. If a side of the ball is not operating well, he will fire and he will try to go hire the best assistant available. He's got that track record, even with bringing fired coaches in like Manny Diaz to be his DC. You know, when Manny Diaz leaved, then. I think he went to go get Jim Knowles. No, that's what he got now,
Jim
right?
Knowles is in DC, yeah.
Right. So you're going to get Jim Knowles, yeah. One of the biggest names you poaching from Ohio State. Now, are you going to land on a coordinator hire every single time? No. But just like I like that about him the same way I like it about Mario Cristobal, right? Like, they're not the greatest coaches, but they hire well. And if you're not performing well, it's no friendship, it's business. I will fire you and I go get somebody to get the job done. Somebody in the comments say he's a defense. He's actually an offensive coach. I don't like his offensive system, but he hires well. And I think he's going to come into Florida very competitive. I think he got short. I think he he's got slighted with the way he got fired. I still think he hasn't peaked, in my opinion. In coaching world, he's around the age when coaches start to peak. And I think a fresh start at the University of Florida would do amazing things to his career. And I think on the recruiting trail, we will be an absolute problem. I think this will be the first coach that we brought in to actually give Kirby Smart a hard time on the recruiting trail.
Okay. So for funniness, my boy Billy wins out here.
don't say this.
No, Jordan. No, no, do it, Jordan. Keep
don't
looking.
Do this, bro. Don't do it, Jordan.
He's out here. He knocked off number 5 Georgia, number 7 Ole Miss, who will probably be ranked in the top 5 within the next 2 weeks. And maybe Kentucky, I mean, maybe Tennessee hops in the top 10 by the time we play them in the November. He knocked all them boys off and then clean it up with Florida State. Is anybody even considering it?
No, I don't care if he beat the Chiefs. I don't care. No, I appreciate you, Billy G. You know, we'll give you a real statue, but we'll give you a blow up statue for a weekend to celebrate, you know, your great run of a season as head coach, man. The greatest interim all time, but he got to go.
Chat suggests CTE, Jordan.
I just got love for Billy, bro. That's all. I just want to see what guy win.
Oh man, would you want to keep him, Jordan?
I mean, not saying like really no, but I was just being on some like, you know, if he won out, everybody's riding a high horse of like, obviously Billy couldn't beat people with the same roster, and he comes in and wins ball games. I mean, you almost just got to look at it and have that conversation for a second. Just not saying literally, but you consider it. And like the kids playing for him, the dudes like him. What if players start riding and be like, shoot, you firing Billy, I'm gone. I want Billy as my coach. Ladway come to you and say, well, I want Billy as my head man. What you going to tell him? Get out of here with you too?
I'm going to say, Ladway, I love you, but you haven't been performing that well, my boy. Like, to
and you ain't letting him go.
Yeah, I would let him in. I would let him in, Billy, go if it came down to it. Bro. No, if it's you and Billy or you're out, like, yeah, you got to go. Billy G
about the coaching. That man for to be right there for his last year.
I need the Porter, baby.
But I think I'm with you, Corey. I've always thought, I didn't understand the hate for James Franklin. I don't think it's a
crazy in the chat, man.
I don't know that James Franklin's like the sexy hire, but like when we were talking about Osiris Torrance getting drafted, it's like, hey, you're gonna draft him and is drafting a right guard in the first round sexy? No, but he's just like gonna sit there and produce for you and you're not gonna have to worry about it.
Yeah,
like I think James Franklin comes to Florida, raises the floor. The one concern is that's you are what your record says you are, and that record against big games and big games against big teams is horrendous.
But of the coaches, he does have the best resume.
100%.
Like, by far, the best resume. He was a play away from the national championship last year.
Yeah, in terms of resume, it's not – there's a – sizable gap between him and anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to talk Jed Fisher? Like,
we will. We'll get there. I do want to get to shout out to OB. He's back. You got Jordan. I got got. I got got the last week. So,
yeah, what was that?
It's just rewatch. Army Sniper, our friend Chris here.
Crazy.
I don't know why he changed it. Chris, let us know why you changed between handles. How does Scott navigate the coaching search with the playoff picture? We'll get into Lane Kiffin here. What do you think would be the latest date for Kiffin or any other playoff coach to commit to UF? Nick, you're muted.
We kind of went through this last year, and I said that about Lane last year, where it was like, you know, Florida fans, I mean, before Billy beats Lane, then you're kind of like, oh, geez, what the hell are we doing here? That's the timeline. Like, I don't know that, I mean, Florida fans probably were listening right now, would be like, yeah, screw them. But like, I don't know that you want a coach who is willing to leave his team that's in the playoff to be like, oh, I'm going to go take a different job. You guys, like, good luck. You're welcome for getting you here, but I'm out. I don't even know that you want that type of person. I don't know that that's who Lane is. So you're waiting until their season is done. I think uniquely Florida is positioned really, really well for that because I think you only need to retain the roster. I think you're probably going to have to go into the portal for offensive line, but I think the young nucleus you have both on both sides of the ball, you just have to retain a lot of the roster. to be able to have success next year.
Yeah.
Thanks. I don't know how you go in the offense. I don't know how you go and get offensive linemen in the portal.
Expensively.
And potentially without a coach.
I'm saying outside of the offensive line.
Bro, teams are getting commits right now. And like Brian Kelly got fired today and they landed a guy. I think these contracts and checks.
Yeah, that's what I said. Them boys want that money and the
they want that bread, bro.
Well, I would say that, but I think offensive line, I mean, I think an offensive line,
to the league is different. I would say that it is different if you're about to go to the NFL. Like, you may want to know who's developing you and who's coaching you that last year before you draft eligible, but.
But you got also on the other side of that pancake, you also, if you're not, so let's just say you at a smaller school, not like a smaller school, but let's just say you somewhere in the Pac-12 or whatever, Big 12, you want to call it. And like you have an opportunity like Florida to go play guard or tackle. The resume of offensive lineman making it to the league out of Florida is like crazy. A lot of them do, and not all of them are great, great, great. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like a lot of them
get there though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people would love to transfer to Florida just off the strength of that, knowing their opportunity to play in the league will be much greater. So I think with or without a coach, we'll be able to land some guys. Obviously, it's going to take a little money, but I think
another reason why I like James Franklin, because he can go recruit right now.
Thank you. Half them kids will come right to where he at.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to think.
Then you bring Phil Trotlin, you bring it one sider, like it gets that staff gets.
Retarded. I mean, I think right. Phil could come. I think Phil Trotlin would potentially come to Florida with James Franklin, but he is also a Pennsylvania kid, right? He was born and raised in Pennsylvania, came down, played at Florida. He might come. He might also, he may join the University of Florida coaching staff with James Franklin, but also there's a chance that he is a highly sought after, you know, coach as well. So I also don't want to, I don't necessarily know if it's a surefire thing that he would join. Yeah,
neither a cider, but the possibilities are endless, man. My lives can, they have no ceiling.
But one, that boy loves some Florida now.
Who's cider? Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I just know his family tired of that cold. He can't tell me nothing.
Man, dad's getting older, mom's getting older. Like, you know, he wants to get back to Florida, bro. For sure.
Yeah, and I think Salt Ollie makes a point. You still can get Phil Trotline without James Franklin as well, if he's interested, right? He's been up in Pennsylvania, born and raised in Pennsylvania. I don't know what Phil Trotline's looking for, but I do know that, you know, we talked to him to try to get him on the show before Penn State media department said nope.
That's what he's looking for.
Well, he will be looking for a job. That's right. But when we asked, you know, he really does like it up there, and so we'll see. But I also don't want to be a surefire thing that he is going to come to the University of Florida. And I think that it would be a great get for Florida. I also don't want to get caught up in the idea that just what happens next year is the most important thing that happens. Like, you're going to probably, if you think that Lane Kiffin's your guy, you wait. If you think one of these other guys is your guy, you have to wait. And it sucks and it's unfortunate. And that means you might be set back a year. But you have to put all your chips in on your guy, not just what's convenient today.
What happens if you wait and miss? Because, like, I think Auburn's going to come open, right? LSU is open. Like, your pecking order, the rest of your, because we got this 4-man list, those other three guys could very well be gone. So what if you wait and Lane Kiffin just trolls Florida to the smithereens and signs a contract, you know, and laughs at us? Like, you could potentially miss the portal, and then now you're down to like your fifth coach and trying to figure it out very late. And what would that board even look like? Because outside of that top four, it's just a lot of programs looking for a coach right now. So if your whole board could be wiped away if you're waiting too late.
I'll have to look into it though, because I don't think anyone at Florida can go into the portal until 5 days after the head coach is announced. So correct. Like That's why I'm talking about. Like, yes, I think.
But you missed the greater portal.
Yeah, you missed the portal of being able to acquire kids.
Yeah. Not great. And like, okay, then go hire a coordinator. If you're worried about the portal, then you don't hire Lane Kiffin. If you're worried about one portal class, then take Lane off your board. Because you expect his team to be in the playoffs and playing, not leaving his team.
It's the possibilities of Lane saying no. That's more dangerous than the portal. I don't care about the portal. Like, I think if we can retain what we got, we're going to have a good football team next year regardless. But I think if you miss on the portal and you miss on your number one coach and also, like, so many other programs that's about to come free or making hires, like, what are you going to hire late? I think it puts us in a tailspin.
Yeah, it's all game theory, right? And it's
chess going on, brother.
Yeah,
like, I do think, like, fit wise, like, just from what it feels like, bro. And I never, you know, like, it just feels like it's Lane, but this is Lane Kiffin that we're talking about, right? I don't think LSU is a match for Lane Kiffin, just from him saying a lot of this isn't going to be based on money. It's going to be about family. And those things, I don't think his family has any ties. Like, uprooting your family to go to Baton Rouge is just not the move. The only way you uproot your family and that family dynamic is all the Florida ties, you know, all the Florida synergy that's in that family, from his wife, him liking Steve Spurrier, their first date, et cetera, et cetera. Like, a lot of things align for us. Like, to me, it's Ole Miss for Florida, unless the NFL enters the picture in some weird way, but I don't get the feel that the family's going to want to go to an NFL city right now either, right? I just think right now it's good time and a good chemistry with Florida and Lane Kiffin. That's how I feel. But, you know, my mind, I live in reality too, right? And just thinking worst case scenario, like, it could be we wait till Lane loses in the playoffs and Lane just signs an extension and stays at Ole Miss.
That'd be sick.
That's the game that you unfortunately have to play when you want the fish that everybody else wants in the lake.
I need him to fumble the bag down the stretch like he did last year. That's what I need from Lane.
I do think that there's a sentimental value. I think that there's a likely ceiling at Ole Miss, but what if he breaks through that ceiling this year, right? And this could be a year. There's not a real dominant team. Ole Miss put a beating on Oklahoma's defense, which had let up, I think, 66 points up until their game against Ole Miss and let up 34. You just risk, and Lauren, probably my favorite person from Jacksonville, makes a great point here. If you whiff on the hire, I think the fan base is going to crash out.
100%.
Oh, wait.
This chat? If this
what do you chat, mean? What do you mean? It's been so level-headed all year.
Yeah. I've been trying to warm everybody up to different names, man. I've just been playing PR moves on Twitter, bro. It's like, hey, man, what do you guys think about this guy? You just might want to just be open-minded to this, bro. Ooh. Like, I've been around these coaching searches a few times, and it just never has been, you know, the fan favorite, not a single time. So, I understand it's different this time, but, you know, life and history, there's some lessons there to be learned.
Yeah.
It ain't matter if we don't get Lane, though. I can't lie. I do think he's a good
fit. Give me James. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I wouldn't be mad with James.
Cornelius Ingram, Brandon James, Brandon Spikes. Just put what every Facebook Gator wants together.
Oh, no, Facebook Gator news be absolutely nuts.
Yeah, there was a Facebook story today that Brian Kelly is the new head coach.
Yeah.
Oh,
my dad be believing that stuff sometimes. Like, you seen this? Like, bro, don't.
A nicer guy couldn't have been fired.
Give me that.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I'm happy that he's fired. And I hope that they're able to get out of paying him his contract enough. I hope
he goes to coach Delaware or something.
Apparently Arkansas is a spot.
Oh, cool.
Somebody's going to hire Brian Kelly.
Somebody's going to hire Brian Kelly. Army sniper.
Bad human being.
Chris, I got to understand. You super chat from this, and then you comment in the chat from the other one. I'm not sure what's going on here. If UF Waits and Franklin goes to LSU or FSU, y'all won't be scared. Kiffin is a troll master, and remember, UF still travels to Oxford. He could want revenge if UF wins.
Bro, what happens if Jordan's guy, Billy G,
it's in the cards.
Beats Lane Kiffin?
It's in the cards, brother. Like, that's a possibility.
I don't think James Franklin is going to go cheap somewhere. I think a lot of people think that because he has the buyout and it's offset, like somebody's going to give him a bunch of money and it's offset language. And if they try to broker some deal where he gets paid like $2 million a year until after that offset is done, and then it just goes through the roof, like Penn State is obviously going to argue that in court. And so I think James Franklin's going to make $8, $9, $10 million this year. Like, I don't think Florida State can go hire him from the bargain bin. I don't think any school can. I am also curious how much money LSU is going to spend in their coaching search. They've got a lot of money, but they've also spent a ton of money in contracts.
I learned that they had leadership issues as well at the president athletic director positions.
Well, they don't have a president of the university right now. They have their five finalists. The governor of the state of Louisiana had to get involved in that yesterday. That's bonkers to me.
I mean, Ives got involved too, right? A little bit.
No, well, that was with the president of the university. It was his lack of involvement that probably torpedoed that, but that's a different subject. And I don't want to lose followers because the last time I talked about the president's search, the chat was like, Dan, stop talking about it. But
which
toxic
president?
Situation going on at LSU. Tim Brando might not think so, but I think it's a bit of a toxic situation over there. I also don't know if it's a cultural fit. You know, I know Lane Kiffin's is a winner. This is Corey and I kind of had this discussion yesterday. I want to hear y'all's thoughts. In sports media outside of us, Nick, and your former media, we'll call you former media. You've been around these circles. You've been around a lot of the national guys. Why do people view the LSU jobs so significantly better than the Florida job?
I think LSU's the thing. Like, there's more LSU fans, like maybe than even Saints fans. Like, that's it. You and the Saints are the only game in town, and I think people are even more passionate about LSU than the Saints, and they are supremely passionate about the Saints. It's not a wealthy state. Having been to Louisiana a bunch, love Louisiana. I think the people are awesome, cook great food. Not sure the last time the government paved a road, a single road in the state of Louisiana. Not sure how they are going to pay for a buyout. They stole money from a children's hospital.
They did
for athletics. So, like, a lot of buy-in. If you're going to steal money from children to pay for your athletic program, there's a significant amount of passion and buy-in. And then it's really hard to get a kid out of the state of Louisiana. Like, if LSU wants a kid from Louisiana, probably 9 times out of 10, they're going to get that kid to stay. And there's a ton of talent. So you're not having to – and maybe the portal or maybe NIL is changing this a little bit, but historically, like Leonard Fournette, I don't care if he went on 38 visits. Like, he was going to LSU.
Bama and Texas have grabbed some from them from time to time, but for the most part, you know, kids do stay home. They don't have in-state competition like, you know, we have Florida State and Miami in-state, that big three that we kind of, you know, have recruiting battles with. So it's tougher recruiting in-state, but I do think we have the richest amount of talent. I don't think they're a bigger or a better job. I don't see it. Doesn't make sense for me on paper. I don't see a lot of things that they can offer that we don't have, you know, like from a facility standpoint, the amount of commitment we're putting in football right now and the type of money's been spent. I think a fully dedicated Florida, You know, to football, it's very few jobs, man, that's going to be – it's like an even playing field.
Even if you call them even – like, I'm very fine with calling them even. I'm very fine with even saying, hey, maybe LSU is slightly better for some of the reason that Nick has named. But kind of the drastic way that they view LSU compared to Florida. Now, Florida obviously hasn't had a lot of success recently.
When I was a kid,
there's also been three coaches at LSU in the last 10 years. It's not like they've been humming along.
When I was a kid, LSU was cheap.
They have a national championship and a Heisman in that time.
Okay.
When I was a kid, no, when I was a grown man, they got
– it's not been sustained.
Yeah. Like when I was a kid, LSU was a bass drum. We beat on them, and most teams beat on them. They were not good during the Spurrier era. So I don't like – They're fairly new to success, and without, you know, like look at the coaches that have won there, like Coach O, they caught fire with Joe Burrow, but it's not anything that has been sustained. They haven't been on runs and built legacies like Florida has done that, where they had runs of dominating the SEC. LSU has never done that. Like I don't see it on paper where it's a better job. More coaches have been successful at Florida than LSU, so how could it be a better job? Like I just don't get it.
Yeah. We got a chat here. What's U.S. record versus LSU? It is 34 wins for UF, 32 wins for LSU.
Yeah, I was born in 88.
Great question.
I was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was 9 years old the first time LSU beat Florida in my lifetime.
Yeah, like that was a bass drum. We beat on them. We could wait. I know they who I think
now, since 2010, not good.
For lately they've been better. You know, they've been
better. So.
Three,
but you know, they've absent
two from Jordan.
Yeah.
You beat
I remember the goal line stand under Muschamp, brother.
Goal line stand and then Brad Stewart with the pick six in the swamp.
Did you beat him twice, Jordan, or once?
Twice.
That's what it
is. Oh, man.
He froze.
You lost Nick. That's a great way to play. Oh, you're back. You're back.
Yeah, you're back now. But yeah, I beat him twice. The goal line standing there, Brad Stewart pick six on Burrow.
Yeah, they didn't lose a game after that Brad Stewart pick six for a while.
Yeah, and that's kind of what everybody kind of going off, right? You got to be realistic with him, man. People, it's all about what are you doing for me right now, not overall. And in recent times, they have been looking better, had a lot of talent come out of there and stuff like that. But I do agree with you, Dick, that they're really not in competition with anybody in Louisiana. It's just them. So, of course, it's the fans love it. The players love it. You grow up wanting to go there, and it's really nothing else versus here. You got
three options. They just fired a coach that has 70% winning percentage. Now, I'm not sticking up for Brian Kelly. I'm glad that he's in these unemployment lines. But.
That's a crazy firing. But there was other things going on that we, like, you know, closer to the program, I think there's more dirty deeds behind the curtain.
There was some talks about firing the offensive coordinator and firing the offensive line coach and not wanting to maybe do that. Well, then maybe do you have an athletic director that's a little too involved? You know, I don't know. These are just – I'm just pontificating here.
Pontificate away. I like
I mean, Brian Kelly's just a bad human being. And that was not going to be a good fit. That was like Scott Woodward saying, hey, let's go get a big coach who's gotten close at Notre Dame, but can probably win a championship here. It was never going to be a fit. He brought his family down. Like Brian Kelly he's just not a good person. He literally, there was a story about it. He was in the home of a 4-star receiver, left while eating homemade barbecue, left, accepted the LSU job, went back in, ate 2 more plates, then left from there, sent the team at Notre Dame a text message, and dipped down to Baton Rouge. Like, he's just not a good
fool. That sounds like okay to me. Like,
that's what you're Tommy recruiting. Did when he left Texas.
Like,
hey, Joy, you would get a plate to go or something like that? Just, you know, like,
you know, I'm gonna grab me some.
Not to mention, he killed a kid.
I mean, how good was that barbecue, though, Nick? Probably, you know what I mean? That food was probably sick. Shout out to El Guapo here. Food must have been good.
Yeah,
he probably said, hey, I'll offer the kid when I get to LSU, man. But I gotta get
it. He did not. The kid went to Utah,
must not have been good. Yeah. Barbecue's better than the talent.
Yeah. So
we got some super chats here. Sam Adams, how much do you put on Scott Strickland for not letting go of Billy last year?
Yeah, that was dirty work, man. Like, we have incredibly bad timing with firing coaches. Like, it felt like it should have happened last year. And now, just from, you know, watching everything, all these jobs open, and, you know, every time we're in a coaching search, it's LSU, it's like the, you know, the reoccurring people. Florida State might enter this as well if they can put up and do a fish fry, some car washes, and get some water wash.
Get paid 10 cents a car that they wash.
Yeah, yeah, they got to do what they got to do, man. Maybe take up offering at the church. If they enter the chat, that's just even more. But we always enter the coaching search when there's just a boatload of teams. So it does just seem like we have bad timing with that stuff. I think it's a battle for Lane last year.
Do you think that we're going to start seeing this more often, though, because of the expectation of winning and the sheer amount of money that's going into it?
Sexton and CAA is going to just double down on getting security for their players. Coaches. Like right now, just think about it. Right now, how many people want all of these coaches that we're talking about? Like, he got leverage, you know, like, and if they're not with Sexton, that don't mean they're not with CAA. Like, Sexton's just the name, but he's with a bigger company. So, yeah, bro, I don't think it gets any better with coaching contract-wise. I think it gets even deeper this year where he's going to try to make these contracts where you got to sit and give a guy a longer leash because the buyouts are just stacking up and they're expensive.
Well, yeah, it doesn't seem like these schools care about these buyouts anymore. I mean, FSU can't, but $54 million for James Franklin, right? Somewhere around there. $53 million for Brian Kelly. We need to get some offset language in the next contract to tell you that much. $20 million. What?
I don't think you have the leverage to get offset language.
You had leverage over William Hall Napier.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about now. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's why Napier turned down so many jobs. I don't know if it was just a turning down of jobs. They just wouldn't, you know, bend to his demands contract-wise. Like, a lot of what he was asking for, Florida did, which came back to bite us. But I think offset language is going to be tough this go-around because the coaching pool stinks. You know, there's very few good ones out there. If I'm an agent, I got leverage because if you miss on this one, who do you go get?
I do think that there are some real young guys right now that the coaching candidate pool in a few years is going to be a lot better. So I'm curious to see, like, Eric Morris. I want to follow him at North Texas. I think John Sumrall is going to get a good job. That might be a guy. Now, wouldn't that be funny if LSU went and hired a Tulane coach a few years after beating it over our heads that LSU doesn't hire somebody from a directional or another school in Louisiana? I know it's not directional, but.
And about firing Billy at the right time, I don't know if it necessarily was the wrong time just to think about it, because I feel like maybe we wouldn't have the same roster that we have now if he was fired last year. Got to take that into consideration. That's one of the blessings that we kind of have right now, that we still got a good roster on our hands, a young roster too. It's not like it's a bunch of dudes that's leaving in the next year or in this draft class. So I think it's good that we got a lot of skills. Just if we can retain those guys and keep them there, obviously that's the next problem.
Yeah, I mean, if we go and hire a dud.
right. But at least having them there already is a good step versus we left high and dry with nothing. A bunch of graduate transfers that was all mediocre and leaving us anyway.
Anyway, well, that's where we're at. So a couple more super chats. Appreciate you guys for doing that. Chris, welcome. Thank you for being a member here. We're talking about a GM. Florida needs to hire a GM. Florida has two general managers. They have Nick Polk and they have everybody's favorite Jacob LaFrance.
Look at this guy. He thought he was innovative. You know what we need, guys? A GM. we got two, bro. They just not.
Nick has a great idea.
I think if they just built an indoor practice facility, they wouldn't miss so many practices from the rain.
And then they get all they need is football only facility. You got to throw the record studio in there. Wait, you got to throw the barber shop in there that hasn't had barbers in it in years.
Oh no, there's a barber in it. His,
it's not the same guy. Is it the expensive guy? You know what I'm talking about. Expensive guy anymore?
He's throwing a guy under the bus.
I don't know.
What like Nick's gonna be like, yeah, the expensive guy. There was only one guy in the barbershop. So
it's no. I think he's gone. All right. LSU's carved its name in the NFL not only through superstars but coaches as well. Unfortunately, this is what elevates LSU above UF. I'm not saying that Florida is a better job necessarily than LSU. I understand. I just don't think it's drastically different. Go ahead, Nick.
I talked to somebody who played baseball at LSU, and I'm guessing this it's about their culture. I'm guessing it's not just baseball. It's probably everywhere at LSU. And I asked like what the culture was, and he said winning. And like it doesn't matter what that takes, just whatever it is to win. And at Florida, it's a championship experience with integrity. But I think that's the difference at LSU, and it kind of goes back to what I said about like they don't need to fund their public schools. They'll just buy out coaches.
They do all that just to like get like they're not even great at being terrible people. Like win at any cost, and you're not even winning a lot. Like what are we doing?
That's the culture. The culture is winning at all costs.
No. Let's see. You got one more super chat here. Billy G beats Lane. That's wonderful for us. Means Lane likely doesn't make the playoffs, and we can hire him in early December.
On which one you
sign me up? Shout out, Pilgrim Tim.
On which Pilgrim?
It's almost your holiday, Pilgrim. A couple more weeks celebrating you.
On which
Thanksgiving? You know what I mean.
Billy G to put hands and feet on Lane, so we go ahead and that's gonna be a weird hire. But all of these coaches have flaws, man. So. If I had to take a coach with flaws, like I'm not saying this because Brent Key could just ultimately work out, right? It's just we just talk opinions and fit wise, like you know what doesn't go like James Franklin. If you just go for a Florida fit, you know, like it really doesn't fit, like it just doesn't, you know, offensive style wise, like a lot of different things just doesn't fit for him. But he's a good coach. And I think that's most of the board. The only real true fit right now is Lane Kiffin. I think that's why everybody's like over there, over the top with the Lane stuff, because he's a good fit. Everybody else, we're not going to look like we've looked when we've won, you know, with an innovative play caller, a guy with a cachet to be, you know, to engage with the media, be funny, be engaging, all of that stuff. Like he comes with all that, and that's what we've won with. The rest of those coaches don't bring that to the table.
Urban Meyer wasn't necessarily that. I mean, I think that Steve Spurrier was that mentality. Urban Meyer was...
He was a slick talker. Like, he would call for the other school. Yeah, he was a slick talker. He was smooth.
But he wasn't like the... I mean, he was a braggart. He had the, you know, the school out west thing. But he wasn't necessarily the same type of person that Steve Spurrier was. And Lane Kiffin is built from a different cloth. And so,
yeah, I don't think Lane is like, I don't get the Steve Spurrier comparison, even with Lane. I think that the personalities are polar opposites. They both are outspoken, they both are witty people. So they have that in common. But I think there's just a certain like coolness about the guy that has to be at the top. When I say cachet, like, it's a certain, those guys, like, Steve was cool as hell. You know, mm-hmm. Urban Meyer was cool as hell. Lane Kiffin is cool as hell. Mm-hmm. I think he just fits, and they all were just offensively driven guys, you know, from that standpoint. And they got the fan base. You know, they got the rivalries. Like, Lane's going to get everything, the intangibles around the job. Lane got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like we talked about this pre-show. Like,
yeah,
if Lane stays in college football, right, and I've had my just – critiques about Lane, because I do think he's immature in some ways, and I do think he chased jobs and he leaves jobs on the hook every year of are we going to keep him. Like every program he's been at, it's been the same thing from the beginning of his career till now. It's been, are we going to be able to keep Lane? So I don't think that energy just disappears when he gets to Florida. I think that's something we're going to deal with every year. But in the next 5 years, if he's still in college football and you look at, you know, the coaching talent that's around, I think he plays for a natty at least within the next 5 years. I don't care where it's at, just to keep it a bean. He just eventually it's going to click, because all of these seasons, they're a good football team that just keeps stumbling here and there. one of these years is gonna click for him in the next 4 or 5 years, bro. Like, you can feel the energy. I think that's why a lot of programs want him right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens if Florida misses, or it's not even missing, right? I think that this is important. I was talking to some friends earlier today. It's not even that Florida could miss, or that Florida is not giving the best offer, or Florida doesn't do whatever it takes to get him. Sometimes you just don't, you're happy with where you're at, or sometimes another situation is better. It's not just throwing money. And it's, if he decides to stay at Ole Miss, it's not necessarily that you just lost because you didn't give a good enough offer. Sometimes people are just happy with where they're at.
It's gotta be a mutual decision. We can't kidnap them.
Right. Especially when you've been fired before, you kind of had to restart your career. You've rebuilt yourself up to be a guy that a Florida wants, an LSU wants. Nobody wanted Lane Kiffin after he left Tennessee and failed at USC. Right? He had to go down to FAU. And this is a guy that was a 29-year-old NFL head coach. He rebuilt that, right? So there's a lot that goes into it. And like Corey said, you can't kidnap him.
Yeah, he's got to sign a contract to say, I want to leave Mississippi and come to Gainesville. Yeah. So it's a mutual, it's a two-way street. And never mind. I'll say that for another show. Never mind. What do we think about Lincoln Riley for? I know we're winding out on time.
Woo, buddy. Let me tell you about a coach who's never had a good defense anywhere he's been. Yeah. Never once.
Well, he did finally get rid of Alex Grinch.
Yeah, that they still don't play defense.
Yeah, no, I know. I get it. But again, resume-wise, one of the better resumes.
Yeah. I can already read the tweets about winning 52-49.
Still won the football.
Yeah, I'll take Lincoln Riley over.
21-16, though.
I would take Lincoln Riley over drinks as well, man. I think some of these coaches is a lot to weigh. Excuse me, man. Sparkling water. like Lincoln Riley's young, you know. He lost some steam. He was a popular name. Get out the USC, and it's not working out as well as a lot of people thought it would when he got out there. But none of these coaches, I don't think their story's done. You know, I think different schools, different stops, you can get a different coach out of all of these guys. So I like who he is as a play caller. I don't like that he don't have defenses. Like, it just wouldn't be. Go ahead.
What if you hired a guy like Lincoln Riley, who has struggled to put a defensive unit together, and you go down to the G5, and you maybe go hire a head coach down there that's a defensive guy, and you say, hey, we're going to let you call the shots. We're going to let you be the CEO of the football team. Maybe. Oh, okay. I mean, there's a GM. But we're gonna throw some dissension into that room. We're gonna make sure that these aren't all yes people. A lot of yes people in the last couple staffs. A lot of people afraid to speak their mind. A lot of people that weren't asked their opinion on things. There's a way.
That don't sound too bad.
Thanks, Jordan.
Sounds like the last guy's running a cult. Anywho. Yeah, I like that. But Muschamp is also on the sidelines right now. And I'm hearing just behind the scenes that he's itching to get back. I know he's going to sit out a couple years for his son. But you just got to make – I think with most of these coaches, there's some defensive coordinators that's going to be around, that's poachable, that's unemployed, et cetera, that you could bring in and kind of answer that defense. It's time to get a big boy staff regardless. Like, Florida's got to get to the point where they're playing a couple or several million dollars to offensive and defensive coordinators, because that's what the big boy programs are doing that's winning. So that's just in the recipe regardless. Like, you got to have big coordinator bread.
Florida's a top 8, top 10 coordinator staff this year in terms of just on-field coaches? Somewhere around there. Nick, you're supposed to know this kind of stuff.
What were we? I know the experience-wise, we was toward the bottom. And like,
he's talking money.
Yeah, the money spent.
In the country, we were top 10?
I don't think so. Not a beat writer, though.
Top 15, somebody said in the comments.
Find out.
Who's playing? Well, who's paying them people that type of bread? Like, no shots at them, but some of them, you know, Rob Sell, like some of these guys, bro, like, if we spending top bread, there's some bigger names we could go get for top bread, is what I'm saying. Like, not no shots at them. It's just when you look at the amount of experience, like years wise, right? Our staff was one of the most inexperienced staffs in the SEC. Like, when you look at years of experience coaching Power Five football, we were towards the bottom of the SEC in experience. So if we're paying that type of salary to guys with lesser experience, and we're losing to more experienced staffs. It's not like we're winning with these younger guys with less experience. So we're paying top tier money. I don't want to harp on old staff stuff, but we're paying top tier money if we're top 15. But I don't think we were getting top 15 talent as far as assistance.
I'm just trying to look it up right now. Let's get a couple ad reads in there. We haven't done that, and we've got great sponsors that you guys support. So go buy their stuff now. One time for friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. I got the Stadium and Gale one.
You're getting caught without a cup, man.
Caught without a cup. Speaking of which, we need to end the show talking about the Cash Money versus No Limit versus well-versed on it. We didn't talk about it yesterday, but go visit – while you're watching that later, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Best cups. Going to keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. I have 10 or 12 of them. I've gifted them a lot. I've had a lot of people tell me that they use them every day. It's a good everyday drink. It fits in your cup holders, in your car, even the European cars that have different cup holders. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15. Get you 15% off of your order. And also, go visit our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. Get you 20% off of your order and free shipping. Again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. Let's see.
Somebody mentioned that Lincoln Riley has the number one class. They have 35 commits. That's wild.
That's not good. You recruit too, though.
That's crazy.
Lincoln can recruit now. Show for sure. It's just a lot. It's gonna be a lot of question marks, man. Once you get past, like, outside of Lane, everybody don't even like Lane. But
I don't think Lane is like a surefire thing, man.
Nobody is.
Like,
I'll do it. I'll coach. Let's discuss what the buyout is. I will coach. I'll be the first in the building.
You say Miguel buyout. Is
yeah, no,
yeah, Nick, you're gonna have to find a way to supplement your income on, unless you're a weekly guest on Stadium and Gale. I'll still keep paying you the same. So,
I think I'll be fine with the Division One SEC coach money.
Okay, can you still come on the show?
Yes, I will come on the show.
Okay,
I'll be your vibes coordinator, man.
Big vibes.
You guys walk around the facility lighting incense, playing dope music.
Right. Florida paid $8.25 million in 2025, up from 6.56 in 2024.
What do we rank with those numbers?
We would rank, depending on what the exact number is to the decimal, somewhere 8 or 9.
That's pretty insane that we have a top 10 paid staff and we look like that.
Mm-hmm. I said it last week? I said it last week. Like, Billy Napier got
everything,
more support from the UF administration. Yo, and there's been
Billy robbed us, bro. Like, let's talk to the family. This is a safe place now. Like, Billy robbed us, bro. We spent top 10 money on that experience. Like, think about our safety and our DB coaches that we brought on. Like, these guys are very inexperienced. Like, very. Benny Sinceri is very inexperienced. Now, safety room looks very, you know, it looks bad.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, Rob. Like, there's no way that looks like a top 10 paid staff and team and outfit. That's crazy. But then again, like I said earlier, Florida is invested. Like, you got a top 10. That's another asset why you want to be at Florida. You got the ability to go get a top 10 paid staff. Like, you can't tell me there's many jobs better than this job, bro. Like, you're going to have a hard time trying to convince me.
LSU at 9.3 million. They're number six. Clemson, they fired their coach. Clemson, number four, 9.68 million. Who might be making a change there? He might be making a change, but Georgia's number two. Ohio State is number one, as you can imagine. The Florida's nestled right in there in the Oregon, Utah, ahead of Iowa. Iowa is at 7.9.
But I think like the ones towards the top are the ones paying the $3-4 million for a coordinator. The Ohio State, the Georgia, they're paying that crazy.
Glenn Schumann is making $2 million. Blake Baker at LSU is making $2.5 million. Pete Golding at Ole Miss is making $2.55 million.
That's what you gotta get. That's what you gotta get.
I mean, a lot of these G5 coaches, not all, but some of the younger ones, or some of the smaller school ones, your Texas State, your North Texas, those kind of coaches are probably making, you know, 175 to two. You know, I don't know if Keene would leave Texas State or if Norris would leave, you know, North Texas, you know, to go back to a coordinator when they've already had that opportunity, and they're going to probably be looked at by, you know, some bigger schools. But you start to look at some of the other, you know, coaches that might be doing well around the country. Is that an avenue that you go down?
Laura said he put the B in and B and E. Oh my God, breaking the inch. That's hilarious, man. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. That's funny. That's great humor right there. Put that on the Jumbotron, man. Where did it go? Anywho.
On Jumbotron. Anybody else? Chat, would you like us to talk about anybody else?
I think we did it. We did it, Joe.
I think we've we did it. That's elite humor right there, Corey. I don't know if everybody's gonna get that one. That was a good one. So I think that we've kind of covered everything from a coaching perspective. We didn't come into the show today. Basketball starts next week. Big secret scrimmage win without Boogie Fland. And then Nick was on a private jet. Florida Victoria had an event. The Joakim Noah was at. Who went down there with you? Condon?
No. Unfortunately, we can't work with the international athletes while we're here. That's a whole student visa thing. It was Micah Hand, Logden, and Tommy Houck with us. And then we met up with Cooper Josephberg, who is a Miami boy, went to Riviera. Down there.
Okay.
Joakim Noah just showed up. Just popped up.
He was going to come before? Or did he just show up?
He.
Sorry, sir, you're not on the guest list.
Coop's family, I think, is friends with some of the Marley family. And Joakim Noah, big friends with the Marley family. And they kind of, I guess, family coordination talked. Really cool part. So we're doing like a Q&A. It was an event sponsored by Meldon Law. So we're doing a Q&A, and it's one of the people in the crowd just asked a question to Joakim. Like, hey, you've tried to repeat. What is that like? What can you tell the guys about your experience doing it? And it was super dope. He didn't really talk about anything like X's and O's basketball. It was all about the locker room and the guys that you're with and the bonds that you have. But just hearing Joe kind of just like open up to the three guys that were on stage was really cool. He hung out with them for a while last Wednesday night. But yeah, cool kids. Really enjoy hanging out with Micah, Tommy. Both are really cool. I've got a show that I did with Tommy, filmed it like a month ago. That's going to come out this week. And, Florida's looked really good in their two secret scrimmages. One I was there for. The other I was not in attendance for, but two wins.
Who was a secret from? Who was trying to find out?
It's like it used to be like a big secret. It used to be like they would do one in the offseason. You wouldn't know when it was. As a beat reporter, you're trying to like scramble to figure it out. And now I think they did two. The one against Illinois last week was down in Orlando, and then they played FIU FIU at home a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, big win over Illinois. 10-point win. Apparently down by five with a few minutes left to go in the game. End up winning by 10, again, without Boogie Flan. I'm pumped, obviously, for the basketball program. We'll try to see if we can get Eric and Neil on the show next week to do a little preview of that. I did see the comment about Turnkey ZRG. Let's talk a little bit about that on Friday's show. Let me organize my thoughts a little bit better. I completely forgot about doing that today. And then let's get out of here. Let's talk. Nick, did you watch the Verses? Jordan, did you watch the Verses?
I did not. I heard about it, but then didn't know that it was going to be there. That might be a Friday thing.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's fire.
It was very well done. No Wayne, of course. No C Murder for obvious reasons. Turk, obvious reason. But really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, man. That was like, you know, the pinnacle of, and really like a big part of me loving rap was that era, right? No Limit first, and then Cash Money came on the scene. You know, as No Limit was had a stronghold on the South, but right, the whole Verses I thought was dope because they were getting along, right? It was competitive, but it was all like they were celebrating New Orleans and the culture of New Orleans music, the styles of music. Even though they both had that New Orleans sound, it was just one was more aggressive. No Limit was heavy street and soldier. They based most of their stuff around that whole analogy, and Cash Money was a lot of fun. I would have loved to see Wayne there. You know, I think No Limit won just from, you know, the way they was playing songs out. I thought they should have played Juvenile. I'm surprised they didn't play that. But I think Lil Wayne changes the whole competition. Also, Mystical is in jail as well. They both, like, those are pretty probably the two stars from each camp that's not there.
Mystical's in jail?
Yeah, man.
What Mystical do?
It's wild. Google it. It's wild. It's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know the full story. I knew he was in jail. I just didn't know what the full story was. Shenanigans. Oh boy. Okay.
That's more than shenanigans.
Yes. These are... This is a... many shenanigans were had.
Yeah. I would put getting caught with drugs.
There's a reason why nobody's saying Free Mystical, man. I'll tell you
that. Yeah, Free C Murder. And I was like, I don't know. But anyway, no, I thought it was great. I like Corey. I'm just a few years younger than Corey. I'm 37. But that's when I started listening to music. Or like when I first started getting into rap, right? Like Back That Ass Up. And when Lil Wayne was there, I mean, that was what, 98? Or so when I was 10, you know, that's kind of the time that you get exposed to that. And obviously it was big on, you're buying CDs. That's when you used to take advantage of BMG Music or whatever it's called. And they'd ship you 12 CDs for the price of one, you know, penny. And then you'd cancel after. But, you know, those are a lot of my albums. And my brother is a few years older than me. And so that's really all I listened to was a lot of the old Cash Money, some of the No Limit. I mean, I even got so deep with No Limit that there is these kind of kid rappers. They were a couple years younger than me when I was like 10 or 11, called the Lil Soldiers. Nobody's ever heard of them and nobody knows what happened to them after, but they had one album and I'll never forget listening to that. Yeah, but there was a bunch.
Go ahead. My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I mean, but just, you know, Masterpiece, Hook, Shocker, Wayne, Turk, BG, Hot Boys, all of it. There's just some fond childhood memories. And I know a lot of people don't think of me that way, but if you would have met me, that's all I listened to until probably 20, 21 years old.
I've been on the boat rides with you, bro. And is you definitely don't pick up the skill of curving around the N word like that overnight.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. He could go almost bar every word and then, but he just smoothly just.
I know where they are.
It takes years of practice, bro. It takes years of practice, George.
That's right.
I believe you, bro.
But go check it out if you haven't gone to check it out. Jordan, let's get you Song of the Week. Before we do that, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We really appreciate you guys. We'll be back game day eve on Friday for the Georgia game. Remember, the Gators are playing Georgia this weekend. Cocktail upset. Party.
Putting them boys on upset watch.
Yeah, upset watch. Gators, 7.5-point underdogs in this one.
You heard me right, Nick.
How do you feel still like rooting for a coach named Billy?
It felt weird. You know what I thought was funny? Shout out to Mark. Mark had asked Billy G if he was parking in Billy Napier's spot. I was like, man, this man is so petty. Petty, bro. I like it.
I like Mark. That was a wild question.
No, that was a great question.
So we have our like staff meetings every Monday. So I haven't been to a Monday press conference for most of the year. So I'm streaming it at the office and I'm like sitting down, I'm editing a video and I pop my head up. I'm like, what? They just asked Billy G. Are they trying to dox Billy G's parking spot? Like, what are they doing right now?
They'll notice the Maybach not there anymore. So
it wasn't a Maybach. It wasn't a Maybach.
That's what the internet said. I don't know, Nick. I'm just
seen a Maybach.
They rented a Maybach for the recruiting visits. It's a very nice car. It's like a Mercedes SUV.
Oh, all right.
The head coach gets a lease. The head coach of Florida gets a lease from the
streets. Call that pump faking, man. I thought that was his Maybach.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, Billy Napier didn't strike me as a Maybach guy, but I was like, you know what? You got the bread.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, it's just a recruiting weekend thing.
Hmm.
That had first. We talked about that kind of earlier in the show about Gainesville and Lane Kiffin. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. You just don't know, right? Like you feel like it's important. You feel like there's a connection because of those things. But again, are we over-exaggerating those things because they fit our narrative? And trust me, I am the biggest person that if it fits my narrative, I'm pumping it. Whether I know it's true or not, if it fits my narrative, I'm in. I don't know, right? Obviously, he grew up, you know, idolizing Spurrier. He respects the hell out of Spurrier and what he did at UF. He wears the visor, all of that. But I don't know if we're putting too much into that either. And I guess we'll find out here soon.
Yeah, he could very well want to be the Spurrier of Ole Miss too, right?
Yeah, he could be. Mm-hmm. And it's never been easier to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never been easier. Not that, yeah. Anyway, one final time for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville. Anything that you need from polos to golf accessories to Christmas gifts, that's not, you know, not too far around the corner here. The holiday season, pardon me. Whatever you might need, go visit them in Gainesville right on Archer Road, right on the north side of the road there on Archer as you're heading right off of 75. So go visit alumnihall.com. Let them know we sent you. We will probably get you guys a code after the season. We appreciate everybody for watching. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Jordan, what do you got?
I think I'm going Rod Wave leaving.
Hmm.
Listening to Rod Wave, baby.
Sounds like subliminal.
Nah, man.
Billy Napier's request, man.
Yeah.
Nick, did you get a goodbye text from Billy?
Hell no.
Nah, we'll talk about it another time.
No.
Man.
Nobody that gets fired texts everybody at the job goodbye, bro. Like, that never happens.
You never know. Maybe Nick sent him a message. I don't know. I don't know
how close. I get fired from a lot of jobs, bro. I never text anybody in the building when I left. I was just like, I'm out, man.
All right. Well, that's a great way to end the show. We'll see you guys.